Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13. Where I believe God wants to take us today is I believe God wants to identify in our lives personally what robs us of our strength. What are the strength robbers? By way of introduction, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says this: "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In your homework, I had asked you three questions, and I appreciate you filling those out for me. It was more probably an exercise for you than for me, but it was interesting to read. Areas of personal weakness. Areas where you wrote, "This is a weakness in my life." Self-sufficiency. Prayer is a weakness. Personal devotions. Self-control. Humility. Or the lack thereof. Fear, or the lack of courage to renounce evil and to share the gospel. Pride. Ways of the world. Trusting God, especially in hard and confusing times. Consistency, priorities, purity of thought, especially the visual stimulations directed at men. Spiritual leadership. These are from your homework sheets. And what we see here is that we all recognize that there are areas in our lives of personal weakness. Areas that we know that God desires to strengthen and to change weaknesses into strengths. It's interesting when you take time to walk out into the woods and you can see trees, and sometimes you'll see a mighty oak. And the mighty oak many times looks like a great, strong tree. But all it takes is for some insects to get down inside, and they begin to eat at the core of that tree. As the insects are eating at the core, the mighty oak, it still stands tall, and it still looks mighty. But as the years go by, cracks begin to develop, and the bark begins to fall off. Branches begin to crack, and the leaves begin to fade, as the mighty oak is weakened from its very core. This tree, in and of itself, naturally has very little resistance. It sometimes will put up some, but eventually its defenses are compromised. We, no matter how strong we may appear, we must deal with those things that are seeking to make us rotten. We as men can become very good at putting on an act and looking strong. We can be mighty, and we can be strong. But God knows our inner core, and we know our inner core. And God so desires that we no longer give ground to these things that are eating us at the core, but that we resist them, and that we stand strong in the faith that we act like God's strong men. You realize, don't you, that we are all slaves to something or to someone. Just flip over to Romans chapter 6, where Paul gives an idea of this concept. In Romans chapter 6, at verse 12, he writes, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Look down there at verse 16. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Verse 17. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Paul's writing, I believe, to believers here. And his call and his challenge is, you were slaves to sin, and now you are slaves unto righteousness. You need to act like that. You need to live in holiness. We all are slaves to something or to someone. Are you proud of your master? Are you proud of your master? What robs you of the strength that God has so clearly called you to, called me to? I'd like to start, number one, and I'm just going to mention three this morning. You may probably think of many others, and that's good. Grace of God should be at work in all of our lives, bringing to light what robs us of the strength that He so desperately desires to make evident in our lives. But first of all, we forget the promises for the problems. We forget God's promises because all we see are the problems. We're going to illustrate this by going back to Numbers, the book of Numbers. And we're going to look at chapters 13 and 14 together. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We're going to see how God gave His people promises, and He equipped them to be able to be a part of the fulfillment of those promises. But men chose to look at the problems, the challenges of this earth, rather than the promises of God. This robs a man of strength. Numbers chapter 13, the people of Israel are on the edge of the promised land. Numbers 13, verse 2 says, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and He says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." So what's the call? "Moses, I want you to pick out one man from every tribe. And this man is just not to be any man. He is to be a ruler in that tribe." I don't believe Moses chose boys. I don't believe he chose weak men. I believe he chose men that would be able to handle the journey. I don't believe we're talking about wimps here. I believe we're talking about very strong men. Men, at least from the outside, their facade was mighty. Well, we can know what happens. These men are then chosen and they're sent to spy out the promised land. One thing I want you to notice in that verse 2 is I want you to notice the promise that God gave. Send out men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Do you see that promise? This is a promise. You will have this land. And this was made evident to the people of Israel, to these strong men that were sent out to spy out the land. The story goes that they went and they searched it out. Verse 19, the land that they dwelt, they went, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether tents or strongholds, they were to search every aspect of the land. Flip over to verse 27, and it says, and they told him and said, now this is following when the men came back. So they went, they spied out the land, and then the 12 spies came back, and verse 27 records this for us. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. And they brought back all kinds of large fruit. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. What are they looking at? They are forgetting the promise for the problems. They are seeing the incredible size of the wall. They are seeing the giants. They are seeing people who are strong. You make the call, who's strong here? Look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Oh, men. Are you being robbed of your strength as you see problems in this world and in your life? Are things not going well financially and you are just discouraged and don't know what to do? Is that all you think about? Are you forgetting the promises of God that He has given to you to care for you, to never leave you? Are the problems becoming mountains so large that they seem insurmountable? Are there problems in your home? In your marriage? With your children? With your parents? Don't forget the promises of God. For as we see evidenced here, it is not the people that focus and look at the world's problems and the things that are looming before them that are strong. You know who's strong here. The man who is strong is the man who clings to the promise of God. That's your land. Let's go now and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Did Caleb go to a different land? Why is his story so different? Men, strength comes from obeying God and seeing His promises and seeing them as greater than the reality of your problems. Problems are real, and I'm not saying we ignore them, but we look at them through the lens of the promises of God. You want to be a strong man. Don't allow that strength to be robbed by you focusing on this, on the problems around you. Because as soon as you do that, you become weak and you forget your strong God. Strength robber. Forgetting the promises for the problems. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11 is just one final illustration of that. This is Rahab sharing the testimony of what it was like inside the walls of Jericho as the Israelites approached. And listen to what she says. And as soon as we had heard these things, that is the people of Jericho, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Why? Because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Do you catch what is being said there? These people understood the greatness of God. And they didn't know God. They didn't have the hope of knowing God. And all they could do was melt in fear. Because they didn't know. The promises of God were not in their favor. Men of God, His promises are in your favor. Don't forget the promises for the problems. Strength robber number two is, very simply put, pride. Pride. A definition that I have come to appreciate of this word pride is not truly understanding who I really am. Think about that for a moment. Not having a true understanding of who I really am. Because once you begin to think about who you really are, we're reduced. Down, 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 down. It's like my little boys. When mom and dad are out of the room, they rule. They are the king, especially the larger one. He takes care of the business because he thinks he's in charge. But when daddy enters the room, everything changes. He's reduced. Man, pride is not understanding, not taking into account who you really are. By way of illustration, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The kingdom has been divided. Judah and Israel are the two kingdoms. We are here looking at Judah and King Uzziah, who becomes the king. He begins reigning at the age of 16, verse 3. And I want you to see what verse 4 says about Uzziah. Verse 4 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to, what's it say?
Prosper.
King Uzziah had God in his favor. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What a great way to start. What a great way to begin his reign as king. He's only 16. And an incredible opportunity to help turn this kingdom of Judah around to pleasing the Lord. Now let's look at verse 15. Chapter 26, verse 15. And he, that is Uzziah, made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones without. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. God was blessing this man as king, and he became strong. It looked like inventions are coming out. It looks like they're inventing things to shoot arrows and stones from the wall. And just incredible things are going on in this kingdom. And he has now become strong. Now, verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his what? What's it say then?
Destruction.
For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. King Uzziah, he became strong and he knew it. He left the true understanding of himself as a king under the Lord and became someone who he was not. He assumes the role of a priest here, going into the temple to burn incense, which was something that was holy and dedicated only for the priests. But King Uzziah, he is strong. He can do whatever he wants. But the word of God is so clear. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Men, pride will rob you of your strength. How did King Uzziah end his life? How was that? What did that look like? Look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. What a way to end his reign. What a way his life ended. How did he get there? How did he end up in a house of lepers, dying of a most horrible disease, when he began with great strength? What happened? Pride. His heart was lifted up. Men, what does pride look like in your life? Do you have a true understanding of yourself and who you really are? And I'm talking not just in relationship with God, but relationship with people. All around us, we need to really have a true understanding of who we really are. We're ministers of the grace of God. We are beneficiaries of the grace of God. And out of that, we love one another, interact with one another. We may have experienced success. We may have experienced great power. We may be strong.
We may have land.
We may have all kinds of things that we can do, toys and whatever it might be. But men, do not allow your heart to be lifted up to the point where you begin to believe that you are something that you are really not. The day that you realize that you have escaped from being this little humble servant of the Lord to somebody that, hey, I belong, I've got it. That day, beware. Because destruction is around the corner. The New Testament tells us to be careful, take heed, lest you fall. Now you may think about this and you may say, well, God has called us to be strong men. Yes, He has. But God has called us to be strong men in our faith. We are to flex the muscles of faith. We are to starve the muscles of the flesh. A contrast to this strength robber of pride, we see in the life of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I would be remiss if we did not mention this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the passage where Paul cries out to God to deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this. And this is what Paul says after God says, let me read verse 8 to give you context. 2 Corinthians 12, 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, does that sound like a strong man? Well, in the world's eyes, absolutely not. But men, that is true strength. When I am weak, then am I strong. So we are robbed of our strength when we forget the promises for the problems. When we allow pride to rule our lives. When we believe what is not true about ourselves. And by the way, on the flip side of that, humility. What do you think the definition of humility is? If pride is not is having a wrong understanding of yourself, humility is what? Having a right and true understanding of yourself. You understand who you really are. That's how you can be a humble man. That's why you need to be in the Word. The Word of God tells you who you are. The Word of God tells you that. Tells me that. Tells me that I'm God's servant. I'm His servant. I'm His slave. Thirdly, a lust for the counterfeit satisfaction. We long for satisfying things. We long to be satisfied. And we have a lust for it. And men, there are counterfeits. There are things out there that are presented as genuine means of satisfaction. But they are lies. They are lies in the sight of God. They're counterfeit. They're fake. They're false. But we'll see from the scriptures
that strong men,
when they have a desire for counterfeit satisfactions, they fall hard. Go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 11. And as we consider this concept of lust after counterfeit satisfactions, this can come in many forms. For you know very well, there are many ways that you as a man desire to be satisfied. You know that the lusts of your flesh and what they are. You know the reality of them in your life. If God has called you to be a strong man, you must stop running after the counterfeits, the false, the fake means of satisfaction. In this story, it's very well known. This is the story of David. Verse 1 of chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11, 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. I don't even like reading that passage, but I read it because God has it in His Word and He has it there to make us think. David was a man like you and I. In fact, God says he was a man after his own heart. David was a strong man. David was victorious in battle. Israel grew extensively under the leadership of David. Many of the Psalms are written from the heart of David. How many of you are ministered to by the Psalms? What robs a man of his strength? It's when he allows his flesh and his desires to go after the counterfeits, the lies, the things that are not true. And it greatly weakens a strong man. What took place here is David saw a woman. And he had a desire to be satisfied. Now we can sit here and we can say, well, let's make the call. Was this a legitimate means of satisfaction for the king of Israel? Or was this something that was a counterfeit, something that was presented as true, but it truly was not? What did David do in his mind? What kind of contortions did he go through to bring about what takes place? What he had to do, men, was he had to say, it is okay for me to do this. He had to legitimize this act in his mind. Why did he have to do that? Because God shouldn't do that. And we know what takes place is that as a result, This man and his kingdom, his rule, his family was greatly weakened. His family became dysfunctional. He lost a son to death. Incredible sorrow that took a strong man and weakened him. But praise be to God, it doesn't end there. Because what we know is that God brought Nathan. Didn't he? God brought Nathan in chapter 12, and he told David a story. And in that story, he said, David, you are the one that offended. You are the problem. And the scriptures tell us, and the Psalms record for us, the incredible repentance, the sorrow, the confession that takes place in this man as a result of his sin. He lusted after a counterfeit satisfaction. The book of Proverbs in chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What other ways are we sought after by counterfeit satisfactions? What about with money? Do you have a lust for money? Is your life all about getting money? Getting rich? That's a counterfeit, man. In fact, the scriptures tell us to flee from that. Life's not about money. What about immorality? What about sexual lust? You know, all of this can go back to that statement, we're all slaves to something. Are you proud of your master? I just recently heard of a dear friend who was in a marriage that I thought was great. But she just reported to us that her husband has been caught in pornography and unfaithfulness. How does a man get there? It's because he desires to be satisfied. But he allows his mind to justify, I can choose how I am satisfied. Men, don't you give yourself that authority. God is the authority to tell you where you can be satisfied. And him alone. Do not allow these lusts to destroy your families and homes. Your very lives. God's called you to be strong. You can be strong. And in him you will be strong. And by God's grace, you can be a David. If you find yourself caught in the webs of sexual sin or greed, youthful lusts, the mercy of God is great. He who covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. That can be you. And that can be you today. May today be a day where your life, where you become a man who is strong. Men do not believe the lie that every man has his secret sin. And that's okay. That's a lie. I've heard Christian men say that. Do not be okay with that. Put those things behind you. They are weakening you. They are tearing you apart and destroying you from the inside out. And soon enough, sooner or later, everybody's going to see it. It's going to be known. It's going to be seen. Sin works that way. So we close by going back to Romans chapter 13. And we read the verse that we started with together. I'd like us all to read this out loud. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Let's all read it together. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's read it again. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. God, you've challenged us today. You've called us to be strong men. And today you have identified in each of our hearts what might be robbing us of our strength. Oh God, we desperately long to be strong men for you. And I pray desperately today, God, that you would, that today would be the day that you would release us from these things that are robbing us of our strength. God, be with each one of these men as they wrestle in their hearts and lives with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.